Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we're recapping Panorama Festival. How are you guys all holding up today?
Clearly not well.
It was a long weekend.
Yeah. We'll do roll call here. This is Chris Payne, obviously, here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Dan Rice, first time on the Alternative Facts podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris.
Where I feel like you've had a busy day. This is quite a weekend for all of us. What is your favorite memory of the weekend at Panorama?
Is there any other answer than Frank Ocean?
Nope. That's the only answer.
Frank Ocean said it was awesome.
Yeah.
But you skipped out like halfway, right?
I did not. No. No.
What, you didn't see him crying in a corner?
Yeah. That was the other person I was with, yeah. They skipped out.
Where did Jem go off to?
He probably left to beat the crowds.
To Classic go move. To the party at Lior Cohen's place.
Is that what happened?
That's what I think.
I did not know about the party at Lior Cohen's place, although I was with Lior Cohen earlier today, so I guess
were you
all
really?
Ties together. Yeah.
What happened with Lior today?
Just went down by the YouTube office.
Oh.
Yeah.
Far more important things than I've done today, but hey. So I think we're all pretty much in agreement, and I think that was the general hype that came out of the festival was that Frank Ocean headlining on Friday night was awesome. Mm-hmm. The festival was a lot busier that day than it was on Saturday or Sunday, but I thought it was pretty enjoyable, a lot more chilled out, relaxed. Crowd was a little bit older on Saturday and Sunday. Didn't quite feel as ancient there. So what were some of the other highlights later on, maybe some earlier in the day stuff that we were into?
Well, Solange was also incredible as well. Right,
totally. Yeah, we should mention that.
And the back-to-back of Solange into Frank Ocean was fantastic on the main stage Friday night.
Too much to handle, some might say.
You know, a lot of people said that they saw people crying. I didn't see anybody crying, necessarily.
Yeah, me neither. But I would believe it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that is, I'll say, I think it's kind of a trope that people say, but I'm not at all against it being a trope. I think it's amazing and people should talk about crying. But for the amount of time,
you're so sensitive,
the amount of time that you see someone talking about crying at a festival or a show or something versus the amount of time you actually see them crying is a lot to a little.
Yeah.
That proportion is very off.
Okay.
That's a really valid point, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to see some data behind that, but all right.
I'd like to see some tears behind that.
Oh.
Bam. All right.
Some people don't cry tears, you know?
Yo, what about how there was no free alcohol at this festival?
You're just going to walk straight into some I'm entitled territory right off the bat here, aren't you?
I didn't specify where that free alcohol was coming from or what situation it was being given to us. I mean, the Governor's Ball Festival was at the same grounds 2 months prior, and the free alcohol was flowing very freely from
wrong.
The media section at Governor's Ball.
Well, you
but
know,
there was I don't know. I'm going to look at my credit card statement this month and see far too many $13 vodka seltzers.
Oh, wow. I never look at my credit card statement. I was actually talking to somebody who works in the festival business about this on Sunday.
About my credit card statement?
No, about
specifically
about like that, the booze situation. They said, well, you know, like this is the only festival she had seen that had such nice bathrooms in GA. So they just spent a lot of more money on accommodating,
commoners,
the people who just bought a ticket to the festival rather than, you know, lubricating the press. So,
yeah, I was going to bring that up. There were almost too many just open bathrooms to use, and it was so clean. It was almost suspicious.
Okay, this is my first time on this podcast. Do you guys talk about music at all?
No, it never comes up.
What about talk about Pine Grove a little bit, because that's the interview that I have coming up later in this episode. You guys both caught that that set, right? That was Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they, it's funny. I hadn't really heard too much about them until after Pitchfork Festival, and it seemed like everybody was talking about them after that. And then so I wanted to make sure to catch their set. It was good. They're very earnest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great word to describe Pine Grove.
Yeah. I thought it was, they surprised me a little bit, because my first reaction was like, oh, these guys are just like, this is like poppy, like rock with some country twang-ish stuff to it. And I don't know what this is. But, they had like, they were diverse enough throughout their set that it kept me interested. Sure.
Yeah. Lindsay, what did you think about their sloth?
I mean, that was the best part of the whole set, right? They had a stuffed animal sloth on stage, and I may or may not own the same one, so I feel personally connected to them now.
Wow. Yeah. They really grabbed you and picked up a new fan along the way.
Yeah, a Clinton. Lifelong fan.
His name is Clinton.
The sloth?
Yeah, he's their mascot.
Amazing. Really great.
Why do they have a mascot?
Why not?
Why don't other bands have a mascot?
I guess that's a good question.
They bought him at a rest stop on tour.
All right. Is this covered in your interview?
No, actually, I should have asked him. I should have asked him about Clinton the Sloth.
So far, this is the most interesting thing I've heard about this band.
I agree.
So, I don't know, Chris. Next time.
Yeah.
The inside story of Clinton the Sloth.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about how empty the festival was on Saturday, especially early on, the interview was scheduled for 1:30 p.m., and it took a really long time to get into the festival the day before, so I left super early, and I got there at about 12:30 and was just sitting by myself in like the little VIP lounge, like prepping for the interview and reading my notes, just because like that was where like there was a nice comfy couch to sit on and relax.
No free alcohol.
And all the surrounding alcohol stands and food things were staffed, but no one was waiting in line or anything, so all the employees were just sort of like sitting there staring.
Did you make any new friends?
No, I kept to myself.
Good for you.
Jeez. Some antisocial people here. All right.
So next up, we have my interview with Evan from Pine Grove. I want to point out that the sound quality isn't normally what it is on this one, like we have with our mic set up here in the studio. This was just me with my phone on a voice memo chatting with Evan outside the festival. So sound quality, not what it normally is. Please excuse that, but I think it was a pretty fun interview anyway. Me with Evan from Pine Grove. Thanks so much for coming by, guys. Why don't you shout out your socials, how people can find you on Twitter, and talk about any projects you're working on you want to tell the people about.
After you, Lindsay.
All right. You can find me on Twitter, and only Twitter, at Lindsay Alana. That is LYNDSEYALANA. My cover photo is a sloth, in case you were wondering.
But is it Clinton the Sloth?
No.
Hmm. Yeah, Lindsay.
Maybe I should switch it up.
I think you and I are the two people who both have to spell out our names, because it's not the typical spelling. So yeah, you can find me at D-A-N-R-Y-S if you'd like.
The confusing part of his name is Dan, because who spells that D-A-N?
Of course, of course. But also spread it around that it's pronounced Rice.
Not Rise
or Reese or anything else,
And you guys got projects, things you're working on you want to tell the people. Lindsay, you were just on the Must Hear Music podcast, right?
I was. You'll have to tune in to find out what we talked about.
This cross-podcast.
What day does the podcast run?
You know, that's a fabulous question that I wish I could answer. Anytime between now and next week, I'd say it's a safe bet.
We'll leave it at the Must Hear Music podcast.
Yeah, but I'm going to be at Lollapalooza this weekend, so that'll be good. If you want to invite me back, I can share all the things I saw.
I did not get invited to Lala myself, so maybe you'll have to fill me in.
It's because you didn't make any friends.
Who was the friend you made that led to this important Lollapalooza invite?
No, it mostly comes down to me being from the suburbs of Chicago, so I get to chill at home and head to the festival, so it's pretty easy.
Well, thanks so much for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
Up next, we got the Pine Grove interview. We should start off just by talking about Montclair, because it's not super often that I get to talk to people outside of the Montclair area who are very well versed in one of the best suburban towns in New Jersey.
Yes.
So
I agree.
Did you grow up there?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I moved with my family from New York City when I was three years old, which is I think a pretty common story. Like it's populated by a lot of families who used to live in New York and then wanted to find a calmer place to raise some kids.
Yeah. What part of New York did you spend the first 3 years in?
Well, born in St. Vincent's Hospital, lived in Chelsea.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to Wes from Rah Rah Riot. That dude, he was friends with Ezra from Vampire Weekend growing up, and I think just Ezra grew up in New York and moved to the Montclair area, and then they were like buds and would like hang out in the Wellmont and stuff like that. It was a movie theater back then.
Yeah, I saw Napoleon Dynamite there.
Oh, did you really?
In theaters, yeah. Yeah, and actually we're I'm friends with cousins of Ezra and his aunt and uncle.
Oh, cool.
Who live in Montclair.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Wellmont for those. I feel like for this part of the interview, there's going to be need for lots of explainers. But the Wellmont is a pretty solid music venue, theater in Montclair, New Jersey now. That used to be a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. I saw Lucinda Williams at the Wellmont with my mom. It was awesome.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
I saw Hannibal Buress there a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I saw on Twitter that he went to the Meat Locker afterwards.
Did he really?
He visited, which is a DIY space in Montclair, known mostly for their metal shows. But yeah, he just went and checked it out.
Yeah. Did Pine Grove play there, right?
Oh, we have, hundreds of times almost. No, that's definitely an exaggeration, but as my grandma says, any story worth telling is worth exaggerating.
Were you familiar with Bloomfield Ave Cafe back in the day?
Yeah, we...
That one I went to a lot.
Uh-huh. We played... my old band Dogwater, which Zach was playing drums in, also played at the Bloomfield Ave Cafe like two or three times.
Yeah, I remember it was like I was really into like scene music in like the mid 2000s. Oh,
that was the place for it.
Yeah,
really was.
There would be like you would have like some like smaller drive through and like Victory and Fueled by Ramen bands coming through and like local stuff in that scene.
Yeah. There's a Fueled by Ramen band that I actually really love. They don't sound like the rest of them. They're called Days Away.
I was just thinking, as soon as you started to say that, I was like, I saw them there once.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we're at the same show.
We totally were. Yeah. What was the name of that album?
Mapping an Invisible World.
Yeah, that album was dope.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest albums for me and my friends in high school.
God and Mars, the album opener a good friend of mine was obsessed with the last song, T. Klein's Decline at the end of the record.
Yes,
that's dope. Yeah, we were totally at the same because I don't know what the odds would have been.
And his guitar amp blew, and so the lead singer ended up just kind of he was like, really, nobody has a guitar amp I could use? All right, well, we'll keep going. So
that Bloomfield Avenue spirit.
Yeah.
Now still going in Meat Locker.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Bloomfield Avenue Cafe. But anyway, to put things more to the present, how's summer touring life been for you at Pine Grove?
It's great. We have been on and off at our new place in upstate New York, recording and playing shows, and it's all good. It's really fun.
Yeah, Stereo Gum did an amazing write-up of your Pitchfork Fest performance from 2 weekends ago, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah, apparently there was a mosh pit and there was some kid in the pit holding up his Cardinal vinyl.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then at the end of the set, someone threw a stuffed Cardinal. Not like a taxidermy, you know, just a regular stuffed animal at us. So that was a really great gift.
Yeah.
Someone else made a mix CD that, like, somehow got it to me from the front of the crowd. There was a huge outpouring of enthusiasm and support community at that show. That was so fun.
Is that, like, because I know your band gets that a lot, but was that exceptional in terms of other shows lately?
Yeah, well, and it being a festival, too, we weren't really sure what type of listenership we were gonna have there. But there were a lot of people that we were so excited to see that were... we were very excited to see that there were a lot of people who were also excited.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like when a kid becomes a Pinegrove fan, there's a very fast track to just becoming a very intense super fan. And, like, a lot of bands aren't like that. So why do you think Pinegrove inspires that in people?
Well, I think that it might have something to do with, the stuff that I aim to do is pretty layered. And so there's stuff that's maybe immediately approachable about it, but if you want to dig deeper, you can. And so it gives people an occasion to find, you know, to re-listen, to find something new when they do. And so it's rewarding, I hope.
So, like, there's levels to it. Beginner, intermediate,
yeah, maybe
expert fandom level.
Yeah, but of course there's no requisite for listening to our music. You know, I think that when it comes down to it, I'm just trying to write pop songs. I want to write things that are catchy and things that are emotionally direct. But if you want to dig deeper with the lyrics or with our visual imagery,
yeah,
there's stuff there too.
Huh.
So that's one theory I have, but of course I don't know. It's beautiful and kind of surprising that people are so stoked on it.
Yeah. Did you see the people joking? And by people, it was like maybe 10 people who commented on, I think, Chris DeVille from Stereo Gum's tweet that your fans should be called Grovers. And it was a picture of Grover from Sesame Street.
I that contextualizes a tweet that someone did at me the other day because I said I've been calling you pine nuts if that's all right. And then someone's like, what about Grovers? And I was just like, all right, that's something too. But now that I realize it might have a deeper context. Thank you.
Sure, the hashtag Grovers got a name for the fan club.
That's great, yeah. Officially, it's Pine Nuts.
Okay. Is there any formal, like, any formal way that the fans are organized online? Like, is there...
Like,
a forum or a subreddit or... Because it seems like this fandom, if not right now, very soon needs to be organized in something.
Yeah, I hope so. But I don't think I could rightly be the person who organizes it. Someone needs to spearhead it. So if you're listening...
Yeah, these things happen organically. Someone has some Pine Nuts, Grovers out there, make it happen. But, yeah, you mentioned working on new music. How is that going?
Oh, it's great. The album's pretty close to being finished, but I do need to do vocals still, which is the stressful part.
Why is that?
Oh, there's a ton of scrutiny on the delivery and the lyrics and the sound, because in certain ways the way the voice sounds is the signature of the album.
Sure.
So, you know, I just have high standards for it and I want to make sure that it's right.
Also, there's just like you guys have more instruments and on stage, I don't know about the album, but on stage than probably the average band has in the mix. So there's probably like a good deal of attention to detail with all of that too.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, every part of it is, you know, we want to make it as good as we can. But there's something about the since these are lyrically driven songs, well, specifically, that's what a song is. It's a melody with words. And so we want to make sure that those are standing out in the right way.
Sure. What sort of stuff lyrically has been in your mind that's been inspiring you?
Been exploring physical geometry and communication, and light a lot. Lightness, darkness. I think that this is an album about, depression in a certain way, but finding beauty in a world that's sometimes very tense or challenging to move through.
And like, if you feel comfortable talking about that, like, how is that been like something that's been ragging on you in your life that you're getting out in these lyrics?
Well, music is definitely part of my emotional process, and it's really helpful for me to work through emotional friction.
Sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So are most of the songs are like lyrics are written, they're there, they're ready, and it's coming and lay the vocals down, it's sort of that part?
Yeah, I'd say that the lyrics are about 95% there. And then there are some changes that I'm sure are going to be spontaneously made just in the booth, because that's how it always goes. And when I say booth, it's just my room. I mean that metaphorically.
Yeah, sort of like little ad-libs.
Yeah,
things
sure.
Things just click in your head like, oh, this is what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, sorry, meeting friend.
That's all good.
Yeah.
And you tweeted out March 2018?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Like a goal?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's our aim.
Have you riffed on album titles, art, anything like that yet?
Yeah, but it's all... nothing's confirmed yet, so
yeah.
I don't necessarily want to talk about it, but I'm getting more and more comfortable with like where this album is and what it is as a single coherent statement. I'm very proud of the work we've been doing.
Word. Oh, I wanted to ask you about, what did you think about the op-ed that Nandy wrote about like all the sexism that she encounters? For those listening, if you haven't read it yet, check it out.
Sure.
It was up on Esquire.
Yeah.
Like last
yeah,
month.
Nandi.
Yeah, what did you think of that? Nandi, yeah, my bad.
Oh, that's okay. Well, it was terrific. It was beautiful. It was really moving to me. It's sexism in music is something that I would never experience in a first-hand way, but all of my friends who are women and musicians or involved in the industry in some way experience it like, kind of all the time, and it's just to varying degrees. I think what I really loved about her piece is that in it she embodies a creatively energetic mind that has a goal, has a purpose, is here for a reason, and it is not open to any distractions, not willing to take any shit. And so, like, and that's how I know her as a performer too. And so it just, it made such a persuasive case. Like, how could someone read this and still act misogynistically? But it's not, I mean, I understand it's just like so internalized for some people that it's not on purpose. So I think raising awareness is a really important step.
Totally. And probably a lot of people would just assume that like DIY and punk music and indie rock, a lot of people are just more aware and more woke of stuff like this and that it wouldn't really happen. Mm-hmm. But from what she wrote, it's very apparent that like, yeah, it does.
Totally. And it is a musical community that is deliberately inclusive, so it's especially disheartening when that sort of thing happens. But you know, this is in a way a personal journey, but it's also something that we've been really honored to support her through.
Yeah, like from your vantage point, do you see like issues of misogyny or just her being treated differently like going on?
Of course, yes. But more than anything, I think we just need to listen to the women who are experiencing it and telling it firsthand.
Yeah. Are there any other pieces? Because I think what we're getting at is, like, a piece like this is very important and, like, needs to be, like, amplified for, like, people to, like, see it. Is there anything else you've come across lately kind of like that?
Well, I'm not sure formally, but just, like, anecdotally. This is something that we talk about often. It's just, like, how... You know, the things that we're experiencing and how can we make our world or at least our community a better place and how can we do better? It's a constant conversation.
Yeah. Did you see NPR's list of, like, the 150 best albums made by women?
Oh, I saw that happened. I did get a chance to check it out.
It's good, yeah. And then, like, it's definitely spawned a lot of other, like, spin-off lists that are also worth checking out.
Yeah.
Who's listening? So yeah, what else is ahead for you guys? Do you have a bunch more festivals, or are you taking out more time to kind of focus on recording?
Yeah, well, we want to finish the record up. That's a priority for sure, and I don't know, more than anything, I just want to write more songs.
Yeah, what about this show today? I saw you tweet it out. Or that was, you're the main one.
Yeah,
that,
I do
right?
The Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, like just tweeting out like, yo, this huge stage we're about to play today. Where does, because this is the main stage of Panorama Festival, big music festival on Randall's Island in New York City. Where, in terms of size, does this festival stage rank?
Yeah, by far the biggest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I would say definitely. There's no stage that... that's even particularly come close. I guess maybe Lollapalooza last summer, that was pretty big. But
yeah. Yeah, shit. Do you like get nervous for big shows like this at all?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I'm freaking out, but we're just gonna do our thing. I feel such support from my bandmates when we're on stage, this is what we love doing, and I know that they've got my back, so I'm psyched.
Yeah, and for a band that played the Meat Locker hundreds of times, what is it like being dropped into like a big festival atmosphere like this? Like, we're hanging out in this VIP section by the Harlem River right now that has little cabanas and little ferns and cushiony chairs in between ferns and fancy drinks. What is it like just like hanging out places like this?
Yeah, well, it's a little outside my comfort zone.
Even though it is very comforting.
It's comfortable, yeah. I don't know, it's great. What can I say? It's we are having a good time being here. We're excited to play.
Have you had any memorable I guess we're using this one.
Memory full.
Have you had any like memorable experiences lately of like running into someone cool in a festival like this, or just like seeing an awesome set you normally wouldn't have seen?
Okay, this doesn't totally answer the question, but I heard yesterday at the WXPN Exponential Festival, Connor Oberst dropped in via helicopter to come see our
shit.
So that's
got that Saddle Creek money.
That's some wild shit. Yeah.
From that Omaha, Nebraska helicopter base.
So whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's like such an amazing detail, or it's just at least made up story.
I saw someone who I trust tweet, and if she was joking about this, it was with the driest sense of humor, but she said that Kendall Jenner got turned away in the artist catering lounge trying to get some free food.
Whoa. That's sick. Kind of. I don't know. Everyone who's hungry should be able to eat, but that's sort of funny.
Even the Jenners, when they get hungry.
Even the Jenners.
Everyone's got to eat. Well, yeah. Is there anything else you want to touch on? New album, stuff coming up?
Yeah, well, that's probably going to come out in March, and it's going to be a little longer than Cardinal. Some tiny songs, some regular length songs, and I think some of my best songs so far.
Is there any fans from the Pine Nuts High that you want to shout out?
They are all equal in my eyes. I love them all tremendously, and it's
Little
yeah,
Nuts.
Thanks for listening.
Little Nuts. Growing up, big and tall. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, cool. Chris.
So that's it. We'll be back next week with part two of this panorama interview series with Bleached, a garage rock band from Los Angeles. Maybe you've heard of them. If not, check out their new EP. It came out 1 or 2 months ago. It's called Can You Deal? And also their album that came out last year called Welcome the Worms. Chatted with those three ladies about how they were just on tour at Paramore. They just toured Europe with them. We talked about the Women in Music zine that they just put out with their new EP. Talked about the new album that they're working on. So subscribe to the podcast. Get the show automatically every week. You can do that in the podcast app of your phone or just go to iTunes. Search for Alternative Facts or hashtag Alternative Facts, all one word. And give us a star rating. That helps a lot with everything that we do with the show. And yeah, review the show, give us a star rating, and we'll mention you, we'll shout you out. We'll review your review on the next episode. So aside from that, find me on Twitter. My handle's at cpayne on a plane, or just search for Chris Payne. It's the first name that comes up probably. And yeah, I just tweet out things to keep you guys in the loop about the show, things we have coming up. So aside from that, that's all I got. This was fun. Thank you so much for listening, and yeah, we'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.